Welcome to Watching Bloomington with your host, Barry Lesso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington, where each week we have a chance to talk with a community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And with us this morning, we have our good friend Emily Pike from New Hope for Families. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning, Denise. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing great. So happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, so we're already like in the middle of November here. And so, of course, we start thinking about the holidays. And when we start thinking about holidays, New Hope has some stuff going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up. November really snuck up on me this year, but here we are looking at the holidays. And New Hope has a tradition. This is our third year that we host Hope for the Holidays, which is a holiday tree extravaganza. And this year and last year as well, brought to you by Catalent. So Catalent very generously underwritten this event, but it really is exactly what it sounds like. It is, it's at Switchyard Pavilion, and it's more than 50 fully decorated Christmas trees. And they're there for anyone to come and enjoy, look at, get in the holiday spirit. And then of course, also purchase if you're interested. So the event is next week, November 16th, 17th, and 18th. So starting here on Tuesday, you can come and have a look at those trees from 4 to 8 on Tuesday and Wednesday. And if you see one you really like, you can go ahead and buy it then. And then on Thursday, we'll auction any remaining trees. So doors open at 4 o'clock and auctions at 6:30. So we're really excited about that. It's a great chance, like I said, to get into the holiday spirit. It's a family-friendly event. It's free. There'll be some snacks. There'll be some Christmas carolers. Just, you know, as we head into Thanksgiving, getting yourself and your family into the Christmas spirit.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you have quite an assortment. Where do the trees come from?
The trees come from local businesses, which is really fantastic. Sometimes individuals, but largely businesses. So, and I'll tell you what, Denise, some of them are very impressive. Every year, John Bethel Tidal does a really spectacular tree. Mm-hmm. Tossus does a spectacular tree. St. Thomas Lutheran. And I'm only hitting the tip of the iceberg. Nature's Way did a beautiful tree last year. And I got to tell you, some of these trees will really blow you away. They're very impressive. And that's just to name a few.
Do we get any sneak preview hints like on themes for the trees?
Oh, you know what? We don't. So the businesses are a little bit secretive about their themes and about their trees. So they'll come starting this weekend to set up their trees and get them ready. And then we'll reveal them to the public on Tuesday. So you can stay tuned to our Facebook channel for some sneak peeks of what those trees might look like starting on Monday.
And I know in the past, well, that sounds exciting. So stay tuned for that. And I know in the past you've had different size trees. Is that you have big ones? So they're all tall or little, or what's the deal with that?
That's right. We have big trees and we have what we call tabletop trees. So a tabletop tree would be up to 3.5 feet tall. And then a full-size tree would be 4 to 10 feet tall. So most of them are 8-foot trees, but it kind of depends. Some of them are 6-foot trees, but come and have a look. And then there are also some beautiful holiday wreaths. So those are really lovely.
Sounds like with the different sizes. So then if you have wreaths in the tabletop trees and the large trees, so it sounds like there's probably a range then of price points in terms of contributions for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So lots of different trees. And as you can imagine, they tend to go based on the, you know, the elaborateness of the decorations. Some of these folks really go all out. Some of the businesses put a tremendous volume of gift cards. Cardinal Spirits did one last year that came with some holiday spirits, if you will, which was really lovely. So I think there really is something for everyone. There are lots of family-friendly things, and there are lots of things that maybe an adult might appreciate more. The other thing that's great about it is you can choose one that kind of goes with your family, goes with your home, or if you're feeling like you're in the spirit of giving for the holidays, if you'd like to buy a tree and donate it back, we'll make sure it gets to a family who moved into their new home this year. So this year, New Hope has moved 41 families into new homes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Mm. So these are all folks who would love to have a holiday tree or Christmas tree in their house.
So then the person could buy it and designate that you would give this to a family that you've rehomed.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Pretty nice housewarming gift.
Yeah, very nice. And now with the trees, I know in the past that you've helped make arrangements to get the tree to people too. Is that the case here?
Absolutely. So full size trees come with delivery. And then those tabletop trees and wreaths folks can take home with them on the night of the auction. But we'll absolutely come around. We have a partnership with St. Vincent de Paul, and they help us do those deliveries. And then our own in-house volunteers help as well.
Well, it sounds like a fabulous event. And tell the dates again, please.
So November 16th, 17th, and 18th. So on the 16th and 17th, you can come and have a look at the trees, listen to some Christmas music, have some cider and some cookies. And if you see a tree you really like, you're welcome to buy it then. There'll be a price on the tree. And then on the 18th, there'll be 2 hours of preview from 4 to 6. And then at 6:30, the auction begins. So any trees that weren't purchased on those first two nights will go up for auction. So you can be looking for a deal if you want, but I got to tell you, some of the good ones will go fast. So
do the buy it now then, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's Hope for the Holidays, brought to you by Catalent.
Wonderful. So the funds that you raise, obviously your nonprofit organization, are the funds from Hope for the Holidays like aimed at anything in particular this year?
Yeah, absolutely. So Hope for the Holidays is always aimed at our operations at New Hope. And, you know, Denise, as you know, and as many of your listeners do, at New Hope, we serve families impacted by homelessness. And so the holidays are a really special time for a lot of us, right? When we think about our families and we think about looking forward to spending some time with them. And gosh, especially this year, right? I know a lot of us didn't get to spend time with our families last year. I didn't. And so really looking forward to the idea of having time with our families. But, you know, even though we've made it to a safer moment, health-wise, a lot of folks still don't have that opportunity because we know that we have a pretty serious homelessness problem in our community. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we're really proud to do at New Hope is to serve families impacted by homelessness and to serve them as they self-define, keeping those families together through the crisis of homelessness and helping them move through that into stable housing on the other side.
And you've mentioned, I mean, that's an impressive number of 41 families in the past year. And talk a little bit about your approach. Like, how do you, you know, find the families? How do you help them? You know, what's New Hope's philosophy and approach with this?
Absolutely. So New Hope uses what we call a housing first model. And housing first, you know, there are a lot of different ways to think about housing first. But when we talk about it, what we mean is we are focused first and foremost on helping families move into housing. The only solution for homelessness is a home. And so that's what we do at New Hope. We also use what we call a voluntary services model. So that means that families aren't required to do any additional things other than look for a place to live and work toward a solution for that. Now, we offer a lot of things for families who might want a budgeting class or might want some parenting support or might want to understand a little more about nutrition and how to shop on a budget. But none of those things are required. We're always looking to help families make the choices that are going to be best for them. And so Housing First really says, hey, you know what, Denise? I'm really sorry to learn that you and your family have become homeless. Let's work on finding you a home rather than let's work on anything else that might have gone wrong, which isn't to say we don't want to address those things. We certainly do. But we want to be focused first and foremost on that primary problem.
And how do you find that, you know, doing this, you know, what makes this successful compared to other approaches? What's the secret sauce here for? Because when you've been able to, you know, find somebody a home, your rate at which they maintain it seems to be very high compared to a lot of other approaches.
Yeah. So, you know, in the state of Indiana, about 39% of people staying in homeless shelters move out into a lease that's in their name. Now, last year at New Hope, that number was 81%. So that's something we're really proud of. And I think that does have to do with the Housing First and Voluntary Services model. You know, we used to do it in a different way at New Hope, and most of the country used to do it in a different way, and some folks still do. But the different way was sort of more like, oh, Denise, I'm so sorry to learn that you and your family have become homeless. Why don't you tell me all the things that went wrong so that we can start fixing those things and get you ready to be housed. Now we call that a housing readiness model rather than a housing first model. And it seems like it makes sense, right? You got to fix the problems so you can. But the truth is, all of the things that lead to homelessness are not going to get better on their own. But they're also not going to get better while you're homeless. Most of those things are going to get worse while you're homeless. So if you think about if it's a mental health problem, if it's a physical health problem, if it's a substance use disorder, if it's an employment problem, none of those things are going to be easier to fix when you're homeless. And so the goal is to get people stably housed and then continue to support them to make sure they can maintain that housing long-term. So that success rate is something we're exceptionally proud of at New Hope. And it's something that we wouldn't be able to do just anywhere, right? Bloomington is such a remarkably supportive and compassionate place.
Well, it sounds like too that, you know, of course, you're part of United Way and you have a lot of other organizations that you can work with. So it sounds like you can really help once you get your family situated. There are a lot of resources that you can draw from to help them too.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought up the United Way. You know, we're very proud to be United Way member agencies. We are, I think, still the newest United Way member agency, although we've been a member agency for over 7 years now. So we're very proud of that. You know, in addition to sort of being what I like to think of as the nonprofit Better Business Bureau stamp of approval, right?
That says, that's right. Hey,
this place is on the up and up. It also gives us tremendous opportunities to collaborate. You know, sometimes in Bloomington, people think, gosh, we have so many nonprofits. Do you guys work together? Do you talk to each other? Do you all do the same thing? And the answer is yes, yes, no. Yes, we work together. Yes, we talk to each other. No, we don't all do the same thing. And the United Way is one of the reasons why. So, you know, when we are able to work collaboratively with Community Kitchen, for example, who provides all of our meals for our summer program for our school kiddos, we're able to work in close contact with Middleway House, with Beacon. Hoosier Hills Food Bank is a tremendous partner to us. And all of these are relationships that we help build through the United Way. Catholic Charities is another one. We're really proud to partner with all those folks.
Now, it sounds like you do a really great job. And again, very impressive numbers and really getting a lot of folks help. Now, along with that, like you're actually in the process right now. You have a big project going on to expand your capacity.
We absolutely do. That's so exciting. So right now, you know, New Hope serves 7 families at a time impacted by homelessness. And in addition to that, we haven't talked about it today, but I know you and I have in the past. We also serve children impacted by homelessness in our early childhood care and education program. And we do that in a mixed income cohort. So it's full day care and early childhood education for children from 6 weeks to 5 years old. And that's something we're very proud to offer as well. We understand that childcare can be a thing that leads to family homelessness. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you are more likely to experience homelessness in this country in the first year of your life than at any other time. And that's because, gosh, the birth of a child is so exciting, but it really changes a lot of things for a family. So we want to be able to help families get their kids the care that they need so that they can get back to work, but also help get those kids ready for kindergarten so that on day one, they are there, ready to learn, ready to be successful in school. We know that that early success is so important because it helps build confidence and helps kids to like school, right? And feel prepared for their next 12 or 13 years of learning.
Now, it's super important. And I know with your building, you'll have more capacity. And the Early Learning Indiana report that just came out looked at all the different areas of the community and where capacities were lower and higher. And so it looks like, you know, where you're locating, it will really help support the need for childcare in that area.
Absolutely. We've known for a while that we need more childcare downtown, especially as we, you know, locate more businesses downtown. And as the city's looking to redevelop that hospital site, putting in a lot of business there. So understanding that, you know, we have a tremendous shortage of early childhood opportunities in our community. and pandemic hit early childhood providers hard. It is a very thin margin business for folks. A lot of these folks are just home providers. They're just people who take care of kids in their home because they're passionate about children. And so when a pandemic happens, they don't have a tremendous margin to be able to work with it. So we do risk losing folks that way. So this is a perfect moment to begin really investing in early learning. You know, we've been creeping toward an early learning crisis in this country for a long time. But what that report really shows us is we don't have enough childcare. The childcare that we do have isn't always high enough quality. And any childcare is too expensive. So recognizing those things, we want to make sure that we're standing there with families to help them have the care they need and to help kids have the education that they need. It is it's a really vital time for kids. You know, those first 5 years, you don't get a do-over on it.
No, some people probably wish they could. Do you find with the pandemic situation, you know, obviously as people are trying to go back to work, childcare is a really important piece. And have you found any difference in demand or any trends with people, you know, sort of coming out of the pandemic?
Yeah, we definitely get calls from folks who are interested in enrolling children. You know, right now we serve 16 children at a time, and it's not uncommon for us to have 25 kids on a wait list. Mm-hmm. Now, in a normal year, it would be unusual for us to welcome more than 3 new children from that wait list because kids just stay enrolled. And so understanding that, that's part of what makes it so exciting to think about this expansion. So right now we can serve 7 families at a time in shelter and 16 children in early learning. And this expansion will allow us to serve 70% more families, up to 12 families, and 200% more young children. So up to 48 young children. So that's really exciting for us.
Yeah, that's nice. So that's quite an increase.
It is. Yeah. So we're working on those buildings. They're at the corner of Morton and Patterson. So if you get a chance to drive by, you'll see it there. We're hoping to finish those buildings sometime in January. So really soon here. And then probably open up the shelter sometime in February. And then that licensing process for early learning takes a little time. So probably looking at opening early learning classrooms sometime in March.
You read my mind. That was going to be my next question. Well, I'm sure you're excited, though, to be seeing the horizon point here, because doing a project like that takes a lot of time and energy. And of course, you start way before you even put a shovel in the ground.
Absolutely. So we put a shovel in the ground on April 12th of this year. And we began planning. I think we began planning in the summer of 2016. So it was a very long process. It's a lot of work that goes into it. And boy, what a supportive community we have who's been working hard to help make this a possibility. Because I'll tell you, you know, New Hope made a commitment about 4 years ago that we would not let any family in our community live in their car, sleep outside, or be separated from their loved ones in order to receive essential services. And I'll tell you what, that was kind of throwing our cap over the wall, but this community said, yes, that is who we are. And they've really continued to say that, because this is a community that values families, and this is a community that values caring for one another, making sure that we're there for people to stand in the gap when they really need us most.
No, I think that's amazing. And, you know, talking about, you know, the community support, you know, obviously you'd love folks to come by a tree or a wreath or bid on a tree or a wreath during the Hope for the Families tree extravaganza and auction there. I said it all in one thing. But other than that, like, what can you use from folks right now? Are you, you know, looking for donations to help with the building project? You know, just talk about what else can the community do to help right now?
Yeah. So when we're always looking for some things for families when they move out into their new homes, and then we're also always looking for things that they can use while they're staying with us. So if you have sheets or towels, we always need sheets and towels. We send everybody out with a couple of sets of each of those things to make sure that they're ready for their new home. And then I also tell people that anything that you buy at Kroger that isn't food, right? Or that you buy at the grocery, whatever your grocery preference is, that isn't food. Kleenex, toilet tissue, paper towels, cleaning supplies, all of that kind of stuff we can always use. We can also use early learning materials. So because of pandemic and because of our national accreditation, we're usually focused on receiving new toys. So if you are interested in making a gift like that, get in touch with us. But we can always use things like washable markers, finger paint, crayons, construction paper. Think about all the best craft supplies you had when you were five, and those are the things that we'd love to have too.
Those are really for your staff, though, aren't they? The crayons. And
absolutely. Well, I'll tell you that, you know, adult coloring is really a thing now, Denise.
Yeah, it's still a thing. It's good therapy, right?
Absolutely. Hey, these are hard jobs. If they want to color, they should color.
That's right. Exactly. So, and if people have things like that, then should they just reach out and set up a time to drop off, or
just reach out? It's always easier for us if we know you're coming, so we can make sure there's somebody who's ready there to meet you. You can reach out at newhope4families.org. That's our website. If you head on over there, you'll see lots of ways to reach out. newhope4families.org. If it's easier for you to call, you can call 812-334-9840. And Tessa will answer the phone and she'll tell you what's going on.
Excellent. And then if people want to make financial contributions for the holidays, the building project, same website, or what's the best way for them to do that?
Absolutely. Head on over to that website. You'll see lots of places that say donate now. And we would absolutely love to receive that gift. You know, this is a time of year when oftentimes people are feeling generous, and we're really happy to help support people's philanthropy and people's dedication to our community.
Wonderful. Well, Emily, thank you so much for being with us this morning, and hope the event next week is a great success, and always good to have you on the show.
Thank you, Denise.
And this has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Carl Lamb, attorney at law. For 37 years, Carl Lamb has been a premier attorney in South Central Indiana, helping his clients through extremely difficult times, drawing on his experience, reputation, and responsiveness. For a free initial consultation, call Carl Lamb today at 812-332-1420. Want more? Listen to full episodes on our website at whcc105.com and wbwb.com.